and welcome to a new episode of Saha Conversation, a podcast by the Scottish Arts and Humanities Alliance, Saha for short. Today we're joined by Professor Mario Ignacio Aguilar, Chair of Religion and Politics, and the current Director and Founding Director of the Centre for the Study of Religion and Politics at the University of St Andrews. Professor Aguilar's research also includes what is considered to be the largest study of its kind, a 10-year research project conducted between 2007 and 2017 on religion and politics in Tibet. Thank you for joining us, Professor.
Thanks very much for having me.
So we are recording this episode on May 7th, the first day of the 76th Conclave, or at least the 76th Conclave in this form and structure, as declared by the Ubi Periculum. Conclave is the word of the day, but many may not know the origin of the word conclave, conclave. So my first question is, what is a conclave?
Conclave is the gathering of representatives, in a way, cardinals, representatives of the different churches within a very globalized Catholic Church. If we do a bit of history, the apostles meet at Pentecost, and because Jesus had said, well, Peter is the leader among you, then over 20 centuries, there was the understanding that the church was growing. At the moment, it has 1.4 billion Catholics, and therefore it is present all over the world. So the Pope appoints Cardinal, in a sense, his board of advisors and directors, and therefore the conclave is a constitutional moment. In two ways. First of all, the delegates, thus the cardinals, elect the new leader of the Catholic Church, called Pope, and at the same time, they elect the head of the state of the Vatican. This is something that probably most listeners will not be familiar with, that this man elected in the next few days is a person who is the head of a very small state, but the global state in a way that is present in more or less every country in the world. So the conclave is that meeting in that delegates are asked to convene privately, confidentially in the Sistine Chapel. And therefore, they are not out of the place until they select the leader. Historically, there were interesting moments of conclaves in which the cardinals were not served food, for example, in order that they will make the decision quickly. One conclave lasted for 3 years, for example. Today, with technology, with service, with pizzas all over Rome and whatever else, this is a very quick exercise. But it is a very difficult one. Somebody asked me about the film Conclave. It is a very good film and quite accurate in a way that the questions that the cardinals asked there are the questions that the cardinals are asking this afternoon and have been asking for the last few days. So the conclave begins today, but it has been going on for a few days in meetings in which the cardinals have been asked to isolate the job description in contemporary terms. Who should fill the shoes of Peter, the successor of Peter? And on the other hand, in which way the church wants to tackle some of the realities, joys, and problems in the whole world, and therefore what kind of leader do they want? So therefore, any journalistic approach to this is always very shallow, interesting, exciting, but very shallow, because a person looks into his heart, and this is a priest, a cardinal, and therefore is asking human and divine questions. And therefore, I don't know, for example, what a cardinal is thinking this morning about names. I have no idea. Most of the elections are surprises, as it was Pope Francis, Benedict, in a way, just a short transition, and John Paul II certainly. So therefore, the conclave becomes then a very exciting moment, and now through television and media, of humanity, because simply we don't know what's going to happen. We don't have polls. We don't know who holds the railings of power in the future.
Thank you very much. And that's very interesting. You said there are no polls, and yet this is the oldest ongoing political electoral system that we have in the world. This is how they elect, as you mentioned, the head of state, a tiny state, but still a state. And to be elected, it is necessary to have a supermajority. As you mentioned, this is also a matter of faith, not just election. And we've seen that in recent years, Pope, once elected, they thank the cardinals that have voted for him. According to the doctrine, the Pope is chosen by the Holy Ghost, which was also remarked by Cardinal Giovanni Battista Re this morning during the Pro Eligendo Romano Pontefice Mass. In an interview some years ago, Pope Benedict XVI, when asked about the conclave, he said, if it was really the Holy Spirit to make the decision, he said, the Holy Spirit acted like a good educator in a conclave, allowing cardinals to freely choose a pope without dictating the precise candidate. But you also mentioned the movie Conclave. And in one of the scenes, the actor Sergio Castellitto, who plays one of the cardinals, says, sono 40 anni che non abbiamo un papa italiano. It's been 40 years since we had an Italian pope, putting a lot of emphasis on language and nationality. So what dictates the precise candidate? Is it the Holy Ghost or is it geopolitics?
Certainly, it is not geopolitics. That's for sure, in the sense of what geopolitics means, because geopolitics refers to bodies of political leadership or interest or economic groups which are trying to find the best for themselves. So therefore, the question of what dictates the precise candidates is the context of the Catholic Church in that particular moment today, on the 7th of May. Nationality is not of major importance, but the fact is that particularly the Italians and the Italian cardinals have always felt that there is a reason why Rome is at the center. And therefore, there are practicalities about it before I go into the Holy Spirit. The Pope operates within a state in which the official language is, apart from Latin, the old language of the Church and of the people in the past, it is Italian. So therefore, it makes it easier to choose an Italian by nationality, not necessarily by geopolitics, because simply immediately he will be able to celebrate the liturgy, to interact now that Latin is not used in the daily liturgy of the Church. So if somebody were to be elected Pope and doesn't know how to celebrate the Latin liturgy or speak in Italian on a Sunday or whatever, then they will need a very quick crash course on that. The case of John Paul II, a Polish Pope, and the case of Benedict XVI, great linguists, in a way that the Italian was not their first language, but they managed extremely, extremely well, especially Benedict was a great speaker of Italian. So why not geopolitics? Because these Italian cardinals are not necessarily in Italy. So if I go to the candidates that have been mentioned, probably they won't get elected, but the press favor, for example, the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, Pisavalla, Cardinal Pisavalla, a great man. He's Italian. He has been in Jerusalem for 35 years. So I think that is what they mean. You can bring the Cardinal of Mongolia, who is an Italian by birth. And therefore, that makes things easier, but not in a sense of Italy is going, I'm afraid, for the the Prime Minister of Italy, no, this is not going to make Italy run the show, and therefore it's not geopolitics, but it's a practicality. If Pisaballa becomes the Pope, then nobody needs to worry about, does he know Rome? Does he know what to do in Italy? The Vatican is a small state within the city of Rome and within the Italian state. So it makes easier if a person doesn't have to be introduced to Italian manners or how does Italy run vis-a-vis the Vatican. But all that can be mediated. So therefore, where does the Holy Spirit come into this? The Holy Spirit was there at Pentecost historically when the apostles received then the Holy Spirit and spoke in different tongues, different languages. This is the Acts of the Apostles in the New Testament. And therefore, that was the birth of the church. Theologically, the church begins at Pentecost. And so you can see the continuity of this in that a Catholic priest or any Catholic, before taking big decisions, be it marriage, be it going for a job or whatever, in general, that person will cross himself or herself and will say, Lord, help me. Should I do this? Should I not do that? I am more practical than Benedict XVI in that human beings, and these are human beings, who are Catholics, will use the tools that they use daily. I awoke this morning and I said, God, help me in this interview. So therefore, the Holy Spirit does not operate like a very strange being that suddenly will arrive for a conclave. It has been there, hovering over the candidates in the theological sense, hovering over the Vatican, and therefore it was there with Pope Francis. So this is not a strange phenomenon. I was always surprised about the intellectual explanations of Benedict XVI. He was a very intellectual pope. A very ordinary Catholic who walks in Rome and is selling pizza this morning or is greeting tourists will be a person who will say, yes, I said my prayers this morning for the conclave. I hope God give us a good leader. What that person is asking is for the Holy Spirit to come, not for a geopolitical decision to be taken. So therefore, in a way, the expression of an Italian pope and the expression of prayer go very much together. For a long time, the majority of popes were Italians. And so therefore, yeah, you get used very quickly to an Italian pope, as we did with John XXIII, with Paul VI, and so forth. John Paul I, who lasted 33 days only. They have a sense of closeness, humanity, happiness. Cardinal Suppi is an example, another of the papabili, they say, president of the Italian Episcopal Conference. He's a very jolly fellow, a good friend of Pope Francis. You greet him in Rome, and it's like you have known him for life. So the expression is not only about nationality, it is the fact that some of those critics of Pope Francis found him at times difficult to grasp because he was coming from Argentina. He had other examples, other ways of doing things. But in a way, Pope Francis had an Italian grandfather, and therefore, yes, he was Italian as much as he was Argentinian. But that is the sense of the Holy Spirit. Throughout today, for example, yes, in between things, we will all pause, look at the telly, is there smoke, is there no smoke? But we will ask the Holy Spirit to come, like at Pentecost, in order to guide the electors. Yes, you can ask God to guide the electors in the way you want. We all say, yes, give me the job, God, please. And you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. So it is a two-way. In a way, you are, that's why I remarked at the beginning of the interview, you are electing a head of state, but you are electing a religious leader. So the two go together. they are characteristics for a head of state. The case, for example, of the Secretary of State of Pope Francis. If they want a quick transition and a weak election, that is the candidate. He knows what to do. He's a good diplomat. He was in the diplomatic service. He was ambassador of the Vatican in Venezuela. Right, you put him tomorrow as Pope and he will be running the show very well. But
would this be Parolin? Would this be the Cardinal Parolin? Yes, okay.
Exactly, who runs in all the incredible polls of the media as the forerunner. In a way, Benedict XVI was in charge of doctrine of the faith within the congregations of the Vatican, and therefore it was an easy choice. We don't want, in a way you are saying, we don't want to decide now, so let's elect somebody, safe pair of hands, and then see what happens in the future. But that is the idea of the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't say like Benedict, sorry to contradict the Pope, but it is terribly intellectual. No, for a Catholic this morning in the conclave and watching the conclave, this is the force of God that is leading a church. And so therefore we will invoke the Holy Spirit many, many times today.
Thank you. That is incredibly interesting. And you mentioned the smoke. The sight of the smoke is how we know that they've made a decision. Black smoke, no decision. White smoke, decision. To ensure that the signal that the smoke is visible, the Vatican technicians use a combination of chemical compounds. But historically speaking, maybe back in the day, has there ever been a mistake? Perhaps
yes.
Black smoke? Yes. Oh.
There have been hang-ups and problems all through. At the moment, there can always be human errors. But at the moment, there will not be a mistake because simply they put two chimneys. And so therefore, you are not mixing chemicals. These are chemicals that are burned electronically. And so therefore, we are not talking any longer about a bit of grass that you put and then put a match to it. The fumata comes out, and it will come in the next few days or today. It will come out of a computerized electronic stove. So therefore, it has been programmed, tried, and it's like the one you have at home. You program the temperature and you program the length. It's like having central heating. But in the past, this came about in the year 180, this began, simply because there was no direct communications. Of course, there was no telephone, nothing that we know now. There were messengers. And so the people of Rome used to gather, then close the Vatican as a state did not exist. St. Peter's Basilica did not exist. So these were devout people within time of persecution, which gather then to see, okay, Peter died, who is the successor? The successor dies, who is the successor? And therefore, the smoke was, in the time of persecution, the smoke of cooking. And you will then, people will be over two or three streets, there were very few, and therefore they could not be discovered. So somebody would put fire and cook something, and therefore when the fire arose, it meant that there was no Pope. And if after a few hours there was no fire, people would gather then knowing that the Pope had been elected. But that Pope was the first target of the Romans. And so therefore, this would be a whisper. This person was elected, we have a new Pope. Over the years, until 100 years ago, there was yellow smoke. Yellow smoke was used in order to alert people that nothing had happened. And at the same time, when then the Pope was elected, the smoke was not used. So no smoke meant a Pope had been elected. And then from medieval times, like we think of the time of St. Francis of Assisi and so forth, you use pigeons as messengers in Italy. And so therefore, silence meant they are preparing the pigeons, and the pigeons then will be sent to different places in Rome and from Rome to the outskirts and so forth. So this is quite recent, in a way, the black smoke and the white smoke. There have been enormous confusion. There was in 2005, for example, in that there was gray smoke. I still remember watching the BBC and then saying, what is going on? There was gray smoke. And then very quickly, the smoke disappeared. And then the crowds, of course, all emotional, waiting. Then they said, maybe there was white smoke. And the commentator said, well, we don't know really, that wasn't white. Was it white? Call the Vatican, what's going on? And then suddenly the black smoke came, and of course there was the cry of disappointment by the crowd. And so now with two chimneys, good technicians, these are professional people who had programmed this electronically, then there will be two processes probably. The first one is the smoke coming up, but then they will send an official message, of course, via internet to the Secretary of State office saying, no Pope yet, something like that. In the 20th century, telegrams were sent to the Italian government, for example, because the Italian government, particularly if you think during the times of war and the times of Mussolini, these were secrets of state, who is running the show, what happens to the Italian state as well as the Vatican. There are eerie moments in that we see the smoke, but everybody is, imagine if you're a functionary, not only within the conclave, but within the Vatican, okay, today is a hard day at the office. And so therefore, I don't expect any mistakes. And I expect that the final communication, probably for the first time with the wonderful webpage of the Vatican, where they put immediately the homily during the Mass on a Sunday, I would suspect that we must watch the webpage, and that is our white smoke. I'm sure that the Sede Vacante poster that is there in the Vatican webpage will be immediately replaced by some other message. So we are in modern times, exciting times, but I don't expect any mistakes during the coming days.
Well, that's very interesting that we evolved from pigeons to smoke to now the web pages. Right. But speaking of black smoke, there's been, correct me if I'm wrong, but historically black smoke on a Scottish Pope. We are yet to have a Scottish Pope. Is there any chance for a Scottish Pope on this election?
There is not a Scottish representative. The United Kingdom has three cardinals, all wonderfully gifted. That's what I spoke to the BBC in the webpage this morning, 7th of May, in the Scottish webpage. Cardinal O'Brien was, in good words, contemporary words, he was sacked because of sexual misconduct. And so therefore, the only cardinal in the history of the Catholic Church who was ever removed from office rather than retire, rather than being emeritus, he had to leave Scotland. He had strict orders from Benedict XVI not to return to Scotland ever again because of a scandal. And so therefore, there are two ideas here. The first one is Scotland was always and is always very much liked by the Vatican. In general, if you talk in the sense of Italians, Italians love Scotland. They come on holidays. They really have a good time in Scotland. They find Scots very happy people and so forth. But at the level of the Vatican, when you make a mistake like that, these are diplomatic circles who look at then, yes, at geopolitics. And they suggest, okay, The numbers of Catholics are going down in Scotland. And at the same time, there is no close relation in general between the Catholic Church and the SNP government, as it was with Cardinal O'Brien. So the second point comes, Pope Francis is appointing cardinals at the periphery. And Scotland is not a periphery in the world. It is central to the Western world with many other countries, with Brexit, with no Brexit, with US alliances or not. It is a country that is essential to many decisions, including the British government. And so therefore, the likelihood that a Scottish cardinal will come very soon, it will depend on a very gifted candidate. But when vocations are down and Catholics are down, then you have fewer Scots in the Vatican, for example. And this is a point where, yes, this is neither the Holy Spirit or the geopolitics, but this is a state. So you have a gifted functionary who then attracts attention. And then you say, well, maybe Scotland has a lot to contribute. At the moment, we don't have that kind of power as Scots at the moment. So unlikely very, very soon, because places like Mongolia or Myanmar or Papua New Guinea were preferred by Pope Francis. We have to wait for the new Pope, what his own sense of things would be. But as I expressed to the BBC, the very, very unlikely at the moment. And therefore, yes, I could say that the Archbishop of Glasgow is a tremendous force and a very holy man. But at the moment, Scotland is not at the center of the Vatican reality.
Well, thank you. Maybe we'll see a Scottish Pope in the future. Who knows? Last question. Very last question, very quickly. You've met Pope Francis. You wrote about him. In your book, Pope Francis, His Life and Thought, Pope Francis is revealed to be a remarkably humble and altruistic man. So could you please share your favorite sentence or maybe an action that Pope Francis said or did during his papacy that stayed with you?
Yes, I'll do both because it's very easy with Pope Francis. He says the church is for all, todos. In that famous meeting, in that he meant it. It wasn't just a metaphor. And in that meeting in the Vatican, which was a meeting of the synod with lay people and so forth, he made, like a good teacher, he made people repeat, todos, meaning all. I'm not compromising. Yes, but this person could not be, and the other person could not be, and this gender could not be. No, he said, the church is for all. That's the sentence I will remember all my life. And a moment, our trip to Iraq, when I accompanied Pope Francis to see the Muslim leaders of the Shias, a very dangerous moment in that visit for their plots to assassinate him. And going with Pope Francis through an alleyway, really, of a small place where this man who doesn't say very much but commands arms and people in the kind of civil war they had. And I remember to Pope Francis and saying to him in Spanish, do you really want to continue? This is the moment I can see this is not a place where the escort could go, because this is a Middle Eastern town, an alleyway, in that their balconies, their windows. And I said, this is the moment, I said, Holy Father, when you could be machine gun, and we smile at each other, because I said, and as a result, I could be machine gunned. And then he said, we must continue. The church must embrace Muslims at all times. And I said, okay. And then he continued with that wonderful meeting, in that they remain in silent together, like two pensioners, two old people who understood each other perfectly, who did not discuss great theology, but simply the joy they had to be together in that moment and so forth was the mark of Francis. The church is for all, and so therefore he was a person who wasn't going to look after his own security and safety because the church needed to embrace Muslims at that moment.
Well, thank you very much, Professor. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for sharing this with us. It's a wonderful memory.
Thanks very much. Thanks to you.
Thank you for joining us on this very special episode of A Saha Conversation, a podcast by the Scottish Arts and Humanities Alliance. If you like this episode, please like, share, and subscribe. You can stay in touch with Saha on all your favorite social media platforms. And don't forget to check out our website, saha.scot.